Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 79 from July the 31st, 1993. Hopper is back with us. If you remember last week, which actually in real time was about 10 minutes ago for us,
his
connection died and he just disappeared. And I thought he was jerking off and just found some porn online while the show was going on. But he says his connection died, so we'll go with that excuse. Hopper, you okay? You back with us?
I'm back in the saddle again.
Okay, that's good to know, man. So you weren't jerking off. You
no.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Doc, how you doing this morning? You good?
What a special episode! I busted out the Pop-Tarts for this one, pal.
What flavor?
Blueberries.
He doesn't do blueberry. I would ask him if he likes the chocolate fudge Pop-Tarts, but we already know how he feels about that.
What?
What do you mean, what?
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 I don't know what you're talking about.
You always like to make racist fucking jokes, you dumbass.
I am the most progressive thinker on this show.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
you think just because you traded out your race at one point several years ago, you can just do whatever you want, but it doesn't work that way, pal.
I have no clue what you are talking about when you say that. But anyway, we are
in a funeral. Did you have a funeral ceremony for your whiteness?
What?
I'm just saying you're the least white person I know. All for right. a black well, guy.
Well, here we go. So we're in a new venue as we come at you live from Whitley County Middle School in Williamsburg, Kentucky, which is in the southern portion of Kentucky, not too far from the Tennessee border, if my research is correct. Doc, I'm sure, as always, has the nice demographics for us in this area. So, Doc, hit us with the Hit us with the demographics in Whitley County Middle School, Williamsburg, Kentucky.
Ooh, some of that coal got in my lungs. this is a town... Oh, it's got about 5,245 people. So, you know, not one of these little burgs back in the holler. This is a town of some size in this part of the world, right?
How many people?
5,250, let's say.
Yeah, it's not small. I mean, it's not as small as some. I mean, we've gone to some places with like 1,000 people and there's 400 people in the building. So, yeah
right. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, 96.46% white.
I like this place too, man.
Yeah.
Why is this place full of white people?
That's so. What? Wow. You see? This is what he was talking about.
Maybe there are more black people, but since everybody's covered up in coal and has coal on their face, when they count them, they get confused.
Okay. Keep going.
Sorry.
That's not even funny. I don't even know what's
Harper you're laughing. Laughed.
He laughed to make you feel better. I'm sitting there trying to figure out where's the joke.
Well, here's the joke, pal. 1.73% African American.
So you said 5,500 people then, right?
5,200 people.
And we got 1.3% African-American. How many African-American
1.7% African. You don't really get anything really correct, do you?
Dude, seriously, how does Kentucky consistently have a good basketball program?
They farm them in, pal.
God, they must, huh?
It's called recruiting, pal. And then you got to remember, if you're talking about Kentucky, you're talking about the – if you're talking about UK, I mean, they're in an actual city, so.
We're going to say there's 91 black people here.
God damn.
Imagine trying to, like, find a mate or even a hole to stick it in or anything if you're – or some red drink or whatever.
That's not
so bad. There's nothing but Mountain Dew in that town, I guarantee you.
I guarantee you that there's not one person there that buys those cheap white owl cigars.
What?
White knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. White owl cigars.
Yeah. Those ones, it's like $2 for $1.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
I used to smoke Black and Miles if I did smoke anything.
God.
Ah, damn.
Like I said, if I did, and that was like a handful.
Do you have to be trashy in every single thing that you do?
Bro, I was saying, about the roughest thing I ever did in life, bro, because, again, I never did any type of drugs or anything, was fucking sitting there smoking a Black and Mild, drinking on some cognac and some Hennessy.
Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with you?
Go Colonels.
Hennessy and Black and Mild. Can you imagine the men are sitting down drinking Hennessy and Black and Miles?
Sitting there thinking you're booking the territory, not understanding how low on the social construct totem pole you really are.
Okay, keep going with the demographics, Doc.
Well, and now I'm fearing some shenanigans by the Army or the Docaholics out here. Because when we got to the economics, there was some things on the page that didn't make any, the Wikipedia page, which is a trusted source of valid research, that didn't make any sense.
When I was getting my PhD, the professors and doctors told me not to use Wikipedia for research because it's not accurate.
Well, if you were really getting a PhD,
you can't cite Wikipedia.
If you were really getting a PhD like I did, you don't have to be told such a thing. But anyway,
I'm just telling you what they put in the syllabuses and stuff.
That's good Pop-Tart. Anyway,
yeah.
The median household income is $18,114 today.
That's a fucking lot of broke people there. God damn.
You got to figure that.
But the Dollar Tree must fucking make a killing there.
What are you doing, honey? Oh, I'm just circling around the Dollar Tree parking lot looking for a place to park. It's full.
Yeah, really, huh?
And so this is the part. There were two different numbers on the number percentage of the population below the poverty line. So it said 29.3%, but then in the same sentence it also said 35.4%. Since I hate everybody that lives there, I'm just going to go ahead and say it's the higher number. And I hope your poverty builds our southern border wall soon. Thank you.
Nah, he wants to get political. That was a weak attempt at politics. There's a reason we stay away from politics. Anyway, Doc, anything else?
If you read their Wikipedia page, they pull out and make special note of the number of quote unquote capital E evangelical Christians that live there, seemingly also a hub for Southern Baptists. So, Mike, I would suggest you don't go anywhere near there, pal.
I hear that, bro. Yeah. I think I'll stay away. All right. Well, let's get into the episode. 18,000 a year, huh? In 2018.
God damn, bro.
I mean, what are you eating for dinner at 18,000 a year? Mud
patties?
That's
what I'm saying. The fucking Dollar Tree must make a killing. They eating fucking honey buns. And
bro, this is no joke, man. I am as tight as they come when it comes to spending money. And every time me and my wife go to a grocery store, we don't buy lavish shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're just getting food for ourselves and the kids. And I'm like, I really sit down and say it all. Like, how in the fuck do poor people make it when I just see our grocery bill? That's why. And so when I say how do you make it off $18,000 a year, I'm not talking about what kind of house and car, because I already know you living in a fucking shithole. Because I mean, that's how I grew up, in a fucking shithole. I put my hands and both feet up. I grew up in.
You
a fucking
grew up
shithole.
In Haiti?
No, I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, in a fucking shithole. It was a real shithole. Okay,
I'm from a shithole. America first, pal.
I'm from a fucking shithole. All right, let me get that shit straight, pal. Anyway, so I'm thinking, fuck, not only are you living in like a little dump, because that's what I grew up in, a little fucking shack, but you also, what are you fucking eating only making $18,000 a year? Because that's the other thing. How many people are living off of that $18,000 a year? Damn. Oof.
And how are they all fat?
Now you're just generalizing,
bro. Because
it's
so cheap to be fat, bro.
I know. Let me break it down for you. These people's two food groups are probably like meth and Vienna sausages.
And fucking corn syrup.
Yeah.
What about Spam?
That's for Thanksgiving.
No bullshit. I tried to send Harper a link that I saw on Facebook, and for some reason it wouldn't go through. I saw a Facebook video where a motherfucker was slicing spam and coating it with flour and frying it up. I ain't bullshit.
Oh, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Fried fucking spam. I almost fucking fell off my fucking chair I was sitting in. Anyway, all right, let's get into the episode. We're 10 minutes in. We're talking about demographics. So Dutch and Bob Cottle at the top. Dutch seems to have given up on holding up his signs. We haven't seen him in like 3 to 4 weeks, if my memory is correct. And the big thing this week is that Bullet Bob is making a huge announcement that we heard about last week that we're avoiding church for, so we can hear it this week. And the Dirty White Boy will be on Down and Dirty with Dutch. Beat the Champ TV title match will be Dirty White Boy versus Steve Armstrong. Now, we jump into things in the first match. It's Larry Santo and Chris Comet versus the Heavenly Bodies. Really, in my opinion, not much to discuss from this match. The Heavenly Bodies win when Del Rey hits a moonsault off the top rope. That's back when not everyone was doing a goddamn moonsault. Harper, any thoughts from the opening match?
Well, he lost his singlet, huh?
Yeah, he lost it.
Yeah.
He didn't have it during the match with the Armstrong's Army either, if you remember from last week in the promo.
I wonder why he was wearing it.
I bet Corny said something like, Jesus, Jimmy, you look like shit. We're calling you the Gigolo. Hit a gym every once in a while.
Yeah.
He needed to have that thong type, trunks.
Yeah.
He'd look better with that. Imagine if he'd have went out there with that shit with a missing tooth. Doc, thoughts from the match?
Man, I like at the beginning, Larry Santo was trying to work the crowd, man. That was good stuff from the enhancement baby face, and it was actually working. The other thing I noticed in this match, as we moved Del Rey into some away from a singlet, man, that guy's come a long way from being Jimmy Backlund and JCP in 1985.
Also, if you'd have seen him in Mid-South and 85 as well, maybe even as early as 84, he was skinny, had a curly looking mullet, and just completely looked different. So yes, he has come a very, very long way.
And then I was hoping that maybe Del Rey's moonsault would be renamed something like the Sodomizer or something.
Oh Jesus. Or rename it the I banged your bitch move.
So, well, and maybe that's something we can throw out to the Army. Well, let's ask you to get involved. Why don't you send Mike to the DMs your name for Del Rey's moonsault, and we'll pick the bone we like the best, and we'll start using it on the air. How about that?
The new name? Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we call it? Name Jimmy's finisher. So, right. So name Jimmy's finisher. Use the hashtag Del Rey. Just use hashtag Del Rey. It'll make it easier for me to find. Hashtag Del Rey, DelRay, and name Jimmy's finisher, the moonsault that he hits, but just give it a name. Whatever it is, whatever you want to name it, please do so. Harper, let's keep going. Most popular wrestler contest plug, and this is, you guys talked about this last week, where one lucky fan will win a RCA colored TV, a 20-inch. Harper, it sounded like last week you wanted to talk more about this. Did you still have thoughts on it, or did we kind of blow our load last week?
I want that TV, man. Now, if that TV had a built-in VCR, fuck. Remember those?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. God. I do. Boy, I'm fucking built-in VCR in a TV.
I know, huh?
I mean, that's 1993 equivalent, or that would be today's equivalent of today where you have an internet-ready TV, if you think about it, where you can just stream YouTube on your TV.
Would it shock you to know that RCA still makes televisions?
No, it wouldn't. I've seen them.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised by that.
I don't think Zenith and, like, GE and all that's gone.
I don't know, bro. I think they're still making TVs.
Where do they sell them?
Right.
The swap meet?
The shit stores? Campo, the appliance giant, Harper?
What?
It's a New Orleans thing. Campo, yeah. This is like a local. They used to sell all that bullshit, Harper. They sold all that bullshit back in the day. Okay.
It's amazing how far life is, when you step back and look at it, how far life has come in our lifetime with just the shit we had to put up with that we didn't know was shit back in the day.
Yeah. Imagine 20 years from now. That's what I always say.
Imagine. Standard definition television was the biggest piece of bullshit ever. Why even have it after you see high def?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going. So we talked about it. You have Bullet Bob, or not Bullet Bob, Bob Caudle last week made an announcement that Bullet Bob would have a major announcement this week. So first they throw us to a replay of the match that Bullet Bob lost when the Armstrongs lost to Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And then here is Bullet Bob, Sandy Scott, and Bob Caudle with Bob Armstrong's announcement.
Bob, I know that's got to be one of the most embarrassing things to ever happen to you in your storied career of professional wrestling.
You know, Bob, it's not maybe the most. It is the most embarrassing match I've ever had in my life. I've wrestled some big, tough men. I've been beaten by, and I've beat some of the world champions we have right here today. But that was the most embarrassing situation, because not only did that hurt me physically, that he did to me in Knoxville. Remember the rage in the cage in Knoxville when he crucified me and beat me half to death? Well, that didn't hurt half as bad as getting that arm laid over me and get the three count on me, because for over a quarter of a century, I've had a reputation. I've tried to build that reputation for me and my sons. And for this to happen to me in Knoxville put a black spot on my heart and my soul, and it ain't going to go unanswered. Now, I've got something to say to the people today. I've got two things to ask Mr. Scott. First of all, we've agreed on this already, that in Johnson City, we're going to have a rage in the cage, because that's where all this started. That's where he beat my brains out. In Johnson City, we're going to have something a little bit different. This time, I'll be a participant and not a referee. But our referee is something everybody, is somebody special that everybody knows, and that's the big boss man. He knows how to keep law and order. And when we all get in that cage, there'll be 10 men, arms and legs flying ever which way. And one of these times, Jim Cornette, we're going to get nose to nose and toes to toes, and then you're going to pay for the game you played.
Now, that's Armstrong's army you're talking
about.
Exactly.
I'm going to have the entire army. It'll be the Armstrong's army against Cornette's criminals, and we're going to see that something happens that night in Johnson City. Fire on the mountain. And one more thing, that's a heck of a match there, and anything can happen, but I wanted a personal match with me and Jimmy Cornette, a one-on-one situation. And Mr. Scott has granted me this. In Knoxville, Tennessee, I will have Jim Cornette in a one-on-one situation. It's a lumberjack match. Now, everybody's seen a lumberjack match, but this one's going to be a little different. My army, Armstrong's army, is going to be around that ring, and they're going to have tennis rackets as well as the criminals. We're going to use the instrument of justice that he's used all these years to hurt people. All my lumberjacks are going to have tennis rackets in their hands. And as I've told you before, Mr. Scott, if I do not beat Jim Cornette in this one-on-one situation, if I do not put his shoulders on the mat for the one, two, three, and I want to hear it loud and clear, and if I do not send him to the same hospital he sent me with the same ambulance, I want the same number on the ambulance, I'll check it myself, then I'm going to refund everybody's money in that building. Wow. It's a money-back guarantee, Armstrong's word on that, and my word is my bond, and I have signed a bond with Mr. Scott standing right here that'll pay for every seat in that Knoxville Coliseum. And if I don't beat him, ladies and gentlemen, not only will I give you your money back, I don't care if it's a sellout, if there's 10 people here, everybody that comes to Knoxville will get their money back, and that'll be the last match you ever see Bullet Bob Armstrong wrestling. If I don't beat that man, if I can't beat him, I don't deserve to be a professional wrestler, and that will be my last match. I will quit that night. Now, Mr. Scott, please tell the man and assure him that you've got the money.
That's unheard of. Unheard of, Mr.
Yes,
Scott.
It is, but I have the bond right here in my bag. And, Bob, you have to beat Jim Cornette. If you do not, all the wrestling fans will get their money back.
That's exactly how I want it, Sandy. Not only will get their money back, they'll get to see the last match of Bullet Bob Armstrong after a quarter of a century. So, brother, I ain't letting nobody down, especially me and my army. Cornette, brother, I'm going to chew you up and spit you out in cellulite nails.
And he's going to send him to the hospital, fans. That's guaranteed by this money. Don't forget it. It's the Rage in the Cage and the K-Town Showdown. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. Harper, general thoughts, and then we'll go around the horn as usual. What did you think?
I hope you don't have to give back all those food stamps. Man.
taking a shot at the people. Okay. All right. What else you got, Hoff?
The big boss man.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big deal.
It's a theme in Smoky Mountain. I remember telling Doc a while back, I was like, bruh, like, it feels like at one point everybody comes through Smoky Mountain.
I mean, that's a real nice treat. And that's a big draw. Because this was when I think his last feud in the WWE was against Nails, and then he kind of faded away. And so he's just kind of fresh off his WWE run.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's, you know, the old guy from, you know, back in the day. He's still kind of fresh in his people's minds.
Yep.
So this should really draw something.
Yeah, Boss Man was a huge name. I mean, he come off the run with, Hogan and stuff and years earlier. But, yeah, he's still fresh in their minds. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Doc, you want to give some analysis on everything? I mean, we heard a lot here from Bullet Bob.
How many people, and I think the answer is all of them, were like, we should go to that wrestling match. We're going to get our money back. When's the Bullet ever let us down? Never.
Bruh. Be free.
If he doesn't beat Cornette, he's guaranteeing he will refund every fan that buys a ticket. So
he told you the finish right there.
Right. Like he basically gave it to you. So
how many promoters you guys ever met that just was like, we'll just give the money back?
Right.
We'll give anybody a refund. Anyone.
Yeah, man. I mean, nobody, like, this is insane when you think about it. Because if he does, basically, he's saying he's basically guaranteeing he's going to win. I mean, they're basically guaranteeing it at this point. So everybody's like, oh, I'll go to the wrestling. Oh, this is, ah.
And they're starting to ratchet up all the different stipulations again, where you need a damn abacus to keep up with this shit.
Do you want to tell them what an abacus is? Jesus Christ.
No, they need to look it up. All these welfare cases have smartphones, so put Google on it and get after it.
That's nice, Doc. You're an asshole sometimes. You know that?
I just don't understand why my tax dollars should go for their smartphones, but whatever. Here's a question.
Never mind.
Here's a question. Am I missing something, or why did the last time I remember Big Boss Man, he was Big Bubba and he was Corny's friend. Why would he come in and help Bob Armstrong?
Well, I think you need to hang tight, because that actually becomes a theme coming up.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying Bullet seems real sure of this shit, and I'm a little dubious here at the onset. So
right.
What goes.
That's something.
It'd be like
to keep
Ric
in mind.
Flair going, "Hey, I'm going to bring in my I'm going to bring in my impartial referee Steamboat, and he's going to take care of things." Wait a minute.
Well, it's something it's something that Bullet Bob actually brings up. Not Bullet Bob. What the fuck's his name?
Doc. I mean,
Okada.
Yeah, Okada.
Dusty's going to be like, "I'm going to bring in Ole Anderson. What could go wrong?"
All right. So we need to keep going. And what the hell's wrong with this goddamn thing?
God, you and your podcast shit.
Book it, bitch.
Book it, bitch.
Let's go home.
Right. I get the government.
Unprofessional shit. God damn.
Hold on 1 second.
Nickel State.
Hold on 1 second. You know, anybody who says that is just trying to figure out what the fuck to do with their life.
I would edit this out, but that was actually pretty funny.
Nobody's sitting there going, I just need one more second that really needs like anything close to a second. You fucked it up real bad. Yeah, the sound of podcasting.
But I would edit that out, but that shit was too good. Because it's true. When somebody says, give me a minute, that means, nah, yeah, bruh. Right. This shit gonna be much longer than
a
fucking minute.
If it's a second, I've really fucked it up. If it's a minute, I need to go Google on what I need to do to get this fixed up. But I don't want to tell you.
For real. Okay. So we keep going. After all that, we get the announcement. I just think this is great. I can't wait for it. The whole Big Bubba thing is definitely interesting, to say the least. So we'll go now. Now, I just want to ask, there is a local promo that they play here. Did you have anything from it, Hopper?
Which one was it?
Cornette. It's a Cornette local promo.
No. I don't have anything
either.
You didn't have one? Me either. So after, okay, that's cool. After the local promo, let me just tell you, for people who are listening and not watching along, Cornette does a real good job there of bringing up like local stuff in these local promos. He mentions businesses that are there and people in that town. So that's why, I mean, I thought like for a local promo, this is great, because he's mentioning things that the people actually in the towns can relate to. And they're like, oh, shit, you know. But we go from that to Joe Kazana versus Tim Horner. Now, Tim Horner gets a nice ovation as he heads to the ring. He throws out his lightning bolt to one of his little lightning buddies. I'm sure Harper caught that.
Yay.
I was waiting for the kid to rip it up and throw it back, but it didn't happen. I'm kidding. Candido joins the commentary booth or table. I don't have anything specific to cite here, but listening to Candido on commentary, I felt that Candido is quickly developing into a good talent on a mic. He really is. He was fun.
I've got one for you.
What you got?
Because I agree. But I wrote this down. At one point, Candido asked Caudle why Dutch gets it and he doesn't. Caudle goes, well, Dutch is a doctor, after all, so I guess that's it. And it was just a really good moment between all three of them, kind of. And you're right. I thought Candido was really good here and entertaining. And I also thought, now, Kazana has stopped bleaching his hair, if you noticed that.
Yeah, he looks – well, one, we haven't seen him in a while, and he looks
long
very
time.
Different. Yeah.
And he can bump. You know, his family came up in this thing, so he knows how to bump. And so there was a pretty good little match going on with Horner and him, while Candido and Caudle and Dutch were being entertaining. I thought this was all really, really good stuff, actually. And this is
too.
2 weeks in a row of liking what Horner's doing. I feel like I need like a bath or something.
And I love what he said about his 47-year career.
He's not even 47 years old.
Yeah, Kazana makes Horner look good. Horner really does a good job wrestling in this match.
Yeah.
Horner eventually does. He beats Kazana with the natural bridge. I mean, I think we all knew that was coming in this. I mean, you know, part of the reason they're out there, and we haven't seen Kazana. I'd say it's been like a year since we've seen Kazana last.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I was like, well, he had blonde hair.
Yeah, he had blonde hair, and it's just been a real long time since we've seen him. But it's cool, you know. Horner gets the win, and I thought this was good. And you're right, Doc. For the first time, I'm like 2 weeks in a row, I'm liking what Horner's doing. I'm liking Candido on commentary, insulting, you know, what's going on in the ring, and then, you know, him having a little fun with Bob Caudle. Good stuff there. Nice little change of pace. So after the match, though, well, Horner's going to come over there and cut a promo. Here it is.
Fans, with me right now, White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, we just saw what occurred last week, and I also mentioned earlier, and I mentioned it to Chris Candido, that you had some special payback in store.
Well, that's right. If you saw it, I don't have to explain it.
Yep.
But let me tell you something, Candido. You made the mistake of your career last week. Let me tell you something. I went to the board of directors of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I have asked for some special matches. Let me explain one of them to you.
What's in the bag, Tim? What you got in the bag?
You never know what's in the bag, Bob Collins.
Looks like a grab bag here, man.
What we have here,
oh my heavens,
is a baby bottle. One of the matches is going to be a baby bottle for the crybaby Candido. That means the loser is going to have to take a little swig of milk. And if, just to make sure it's you, Candido, I'm going to make sure it's real sour and ready for you. The other match, and I know you'll feel at home with this because that's what you wear all the time, is these. Wears them all the time, constantly at home. Don't want nobody to know, but everybody knows babies wear these things. One thing for sure, Candido, I'm not going to wear either one of them, because if I do, I'd certainly leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I ain't planning on going nowhere, pal.
All right, man, that's going to be something. Chris Candido, White Lightning, Tim Horner, down in Derby with Dr. Dutch Mantel when we come back. Right.
Oh, my God. When he ended that shit with, I ain't going nowhere, pal. I came apart. Doc, I think you liked this. Did you?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah,
is that what you thought, Harper?
Yeah. That's kind of like what I thought he was saying, but, I mean, Bob Kyle don't know what the fuck that is.
Neither does Mike, does he?
What's in the what? What are y'all talking about?
God, you are a fucking illiterate.
What's in the box?
You are a social and pop culture illiterate.
What, Brad?
Shut the fuck up and tell me what the fuck you're talking about, asshole.
If your people want to assimilate and get ahead in this country, you need to figure out what white people are doing. Oh, I made him mad on that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a famous, capital F, famous line from a huge movie that came out, I want to say right around that time.
Yeah, like in the mid-90s, something like that.
I think it actually came out after he said this. It was from the movie Seven.
Can we get back to Tim Horner's promo here? I don't know what you're talking about.
It came out in 1995. If you watch any movie besides Menace to Society in your life, you know, it's the only movie you ever watched, and it had such an impact on you that you named your wrestling character after it, and you just quit watching movies after that.
I've seen Boys in the Hood too.
Well, there you go. Point made. Anybody else think he was about to pull a fax or a fax machine out of that bag?
He's gonna pull out the fucking brother fax machine.
I just got a fax machine or a toner cartridge.
I just got the contracts sent to me on a fax. You guys may not know what a fax is. It's this newfangled thing where you can send documents, and I got my contract just signed right there. The other thing I'll say is there anything in this world grosser than sour milk?
Not really.
That shit is the shit. Blech. So that was – I actually liked the way he said that because it made me think about sour milk, and I was truly disgusted for a minute. The only milk I like is straight from the titty. You know what I mean?
Titty milk.
Titty milk. What about that sweetest titty milk? The sweetest of all the milks. So
show me them titties. Give me some titty milk, baby.
It just sounded a little weird and stiff when he said everybody knows babies wear these. Why couldn't he just say diapers?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he's got a fucking big old bag of Pampers. Just, I mean, literally.
Here's another movie line that it made me think of. Let's see if Harper gets this one. Can you blow me where the Pampers is?
No.
You don't know that one?
What's that from?
Remember the movie PCU?
Oh, God, yeah.
Jon Favreau's character gets stuck in town all high with George. He's all high as hell, and George Clinton's bus pulls up. See, George Clinton reference for you there, Mike.
Oh, that's nice of you. I appreciate you taking other people's heritage into your fucking soliloquy here, whatever the fuck.
I assimilate all people into this. So, and he thinks, they're like, can you show us where the campus is? But he's so high, all he hears is, can you blow me where the Pampers is? I like this angle. I like this feud. I'm ready to see somebody put on a damn diaper.
Okay.
I tell you, I don't know where this goes, but I hope someone gets like baby powder thrown all over them. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Coated in sugar.
Yeah, coated in fucking baby powder, and it's all over the place. But
I honestly cannot remember what happens here, but I want to say there's a baby bonnet involved at some point.
Yeah, I want to say there is too. This is so.
That's not going to be any spoilers, but because I really don't remember, I could be wrong. I'm not, but I could be.
I think this is good. This is Horner. This is a strength. He's got this asshole in Candido. He's going to pour spoiled milk down his throat. He's going to make sure he wears a pamper. It's so stupid that I actually like it. I like this. I got to give old Horner credit here. I really do. And,
It is a good and interesting upper mid card to mid card feud.
And it's new too, since Candido's new.
Right.
So like that makes you more interested in it because it's two guys you've never seen tangle anywhere before. And one of them being very young, so obviously that's why. But, yeah, really, really good stuff. Well, after Horner's promo, they plug Fire on the Mountain 1983. Yeah, lots of matches.
We need to stop here for a second.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say lots of matches announced, including Sullivan versus Big Boss Man, Horner versus Candido,
yeah.
Rage in the Cage, Boss Man as the referee. Go ahead.
Well, that's an unfortunate name for a band, musical group in that area at that time, or really any time after that time. Did you notice their name, Mike?
Hold on. Give me a second. Let me.
Never mind. Out. Harper, what was their name?
I don't know.
It was the Clintons.
Oh. Oh, right. The little country band.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a bad name for the people hate them some Clintons irrationally. They don't know why. They're off killing babies. That's what they do. So there's that. I wonder if they had to eventually change their name so that people would come to their shows and actually cheer their music. And then if you get down in the Golden Circle tickets or whatever they're calling these things, and I think it's like $15, which, you know, Jesus Christ, how could these people afford that? You get a pizza party with the wrestlers.
Yeah, no.
So I just want to know if you two flatback bumpers have ever done anything like a pizza party with the Marks before.
No.
Golden Circle tickets. Only $15 includes a pizza party with the stars. Is what
are we, eight? That sounds like some stupid shit we'd get at work. Like, we're going to get together and paint rocks and, like, and come up with our inspirational sayings and eat
that
pizza
sounds like
together.
So from like Popeyes and Pals or something.
Yeah.
Right, that, Mike?
I do remember that. This is hilarious because the ticket prices here are $8, $6, and $5. Or when you purchase from Golden Circle, only $15 and you get the pizza party with the stars.
I'd say how many people are you letting in that Golden Circle thing? 20? Okay. I'm going to pay for all 20 and I'm going to come by myself.
All right.
What's the difference between $5 and $6?
A lot here, pal. That's if it's $18,000 now, what's that back then? Like $12,000 a year? That's $1,000 a month.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, big difference.
Now, I was living on about that much money myself at that time, but I also happened to be in college. Not a real.
Oh, that makes you so much smarter and better than everybody else, you fucking douche.
What I'm saying is that I had, I mean, that's part of the ritual of being a poor college student. This is just these people's lives. That was like a phase I went through.
You're just a fucking idiot. You're mean to people. I hate you. Let's keep going. All right.
I'm so, just saying that every dollar, you know this. You grew up poor. You know this. You asked the question, but you know the answer. When you're poor, every fucking dollar counts.
No, bro. You every fucking quarter counts.
You have to account for all of it. Like now, you know, I'll even give you a little bit of kudos. You drug yourself out by the bootstraps from extreme third world poverty, and now you live a lower middle class existence.
Good job,
thanks, Doc.
So great for you. That means you, if you would get it out of your head, you could stop living like you're poor, like your wife wants you to, and do a few things, and not have to worry about where it's coming from.
But my wife people, says it all the time. She's like, will you stop living like you're fucking poor still? I am. Shit.
I know. She calls me to complain all the time, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. He doesn't listen to me either, so I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. She's like, oh, then she told me the other night she picked the wrong white guy. I was like, well, I could have told you that.
Okay. Okay.
So these people have got to – I mean, you have to pay attention to your dollars. That's all I'm saying. So $5 to $6, that could really be a thing.
Yeah, the difference between 5 and 6 and 8 is one of them you're about 100 feet further away, maybe. I don't know.
Well, and the other thing here is, and this is the truth, and there's going to be people out there that are going to resonate with this. At that time, in that area of the country, the difference between $6 and $8 was I could go to the show and get a pack of smokes.
That's true, A pack of cigarettes was probably about $1.50 back then.
About 1993, you're talking about $1.99.
Yep. Dude, I remember
these people smoke. These people smoke basics, probably. So probably about 29.
Uh huh. The basics and those fucking Maverick cigarettes.
Yeah. Get some Lucy's.
Some cool Delta Kings.
No, no, we're not there. We got 1.74% black people. There ain't going to be any cools for two counties.
Yeah, there's no fucking Newports there.
You know all the, like, hundred of black people are like, hey, man, we heard there was a truck of Newports over on Highway 38. Let's go.
Y'all are such assholes. Fucking cool, bro. I remember that shit back in the day. Okay, let's keep it moving, man. We are running long on this one. After Fire on the Mountain, we get Down and Dirty with Dutch and the Dirty White Boy. Let's go ahead and listen to these fools and what they got to say.
Everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And it is with extreme pleasure, like I said at the outset of the show, to welcome one of the greatest wrestlers to ever grace the inside of a wrestling ring, my good friend, the Dirty White Boy. And I'd like to add the current reigning Smoky Mountain Wrestling Beat the Champion title holder. Now, White Boy, like I said, it's a pleasure for you to be out here on Down and Dirty and educate some of these fans, but you've run into a little bit of a situation with Bobby Blaze lately. And let me just ask you something. You made a lot of statements about him, but did you maybe underestimate this young man just a little bit?
I can't believe you even asked me that, Doug.
Well, I'm a journalist. I'm paid to ask questions like that.
I didn't make any kind of mistake. I didn't underestimate anybody. The boy's a thorn in my side. He's a spur underneath my saddle, and I'm getting sick and tired of him being around me. I've whooped him all over the Smoky Mountain area. And what are you going to do to get rid of somebody? I don't know. Decapitate him or what? Dutch, it ain't nothing for me to whoop somebody. You know that. Yes, you have. But, Bobby Blaze, if you're listening, this is your lucky day, son. I've got a little surprise for you. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It's real simple. I'm going to give you $100 a minute, up to 10 minutes, if he stays in the ring with me.
$100
a minute, up to 10 minutes. If he lasts 10 minutes, he's going to leave $1,000 richer. He don't even have to pin me. He wins. But if I beat you, Bobby Blaze, before the 10-minute time limit is up, you're going to get right here in the middle of the ring, if you got enough guts to accept this, and then sit down in a chair, and then I'm going to shave that big, ugly cranium that he calls a head.
All right, wait a minute. Let me get this right now. If he stays, for every minute he stays, $100 a minute.
Cash.
And if he stays 10 minutes, that's $1,000.
Cash.
That is the prize for the Beat the Champ contest here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But if you beat him, he's got to sit his fat, ugly mug down, right?
That's it.
And you're going to shave that head bald.
All the way bald.
All the way bald. Not a bit of hair on that big, ugly head left.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. We're joined, ladies and gentlemen, on the Down and Dirty segment here by Bobby Blaze. Now, Mr. Blaze, did you hear the challenge that the Dirty White Boy just issued in your direction?
I heard what you said, White Boy. Let me see if I've got this deal right. You're going to give me $100 for every minute, up to 10 minutes, that I can stay in a ring with you.
He's a highly intelligent young
man. Yes, he is. Did you hear the rest of it, though? The rest of it's going to affect you very dearly if you lose.
And if I lose this match, you're going to shave my head right in the middle of the ring.
God, you're smart!
I'll tell you what. I haven't made a lot of money in this business, but I'm going to real soon. And that's too good a deal for me to pass up. I accept it. I accept the deal.
Okay, you accept it. You accept it right here on Smoky Mountain Television. You accept the challenge. Okay, White Boy, you've issued it. He's accepted it. Okay, no contact here, guys, but you've heard it here on Down and Dirty with Dutch. Bobby Blaze accepts the Dirty White Boys Challenge. Don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You'd like to
raise. All right, Doc, what'd you think, man?
So does Bobby end up making a lot of money in this business?
I mean, he ain't become a millionaire, but...
More than you, I guess.
He'll tell you he made some good checks in WCW.
Yeah, but I heard he still owes them money.
Yeah, I heard that shit. He was like, "What?" Yeah, it wasn't just like, how does he owe them money? That's the other thing. And it wasn't just him that was said about. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. When I heard that, I was like, "What?" Yeah, no. He made some good money in the business, man. Put it this way. He did something that neither Harper or I was never able to do, and Harper's not been able to do yet. He was able to live off of just wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty damn good if you ask me. So, yeah.
Yeah. He made some money here's the thing. We just talked about money and what a dollar meant to these people. Think about the prospect now of $1,000.
Jesus Christ.
Right. That's like winning a Powerball, huh, Harper?
It's probably a month to 3 weeks of pay for these people.
It's a lot of money. I mean,
right?
I
and that's the point. It's you know, we laugh about some of these. Like, I'm going to find them $500, but maybe in hindsight, you know, that was enough to resonate, and it was a realistic amount that wasn't just like some hokey bullshit. They could put their arms around that and go, that's enough that could change my life.
Well, $1,000 back then is equivalent to $1,700 today.
So here's the deal. I might suffer some indignities for I mean, I ain't gonna suck a dick or nothing for $1,700, but it's still enough money today that I'd be like, okay, I'll listen. I don't have to do anything. I can live without it, but I'll listen. Because I had $1,700, man. I could go to
It's 17. Hell, $1,000 is a lot to me nowadays still.
I'm a little bit higher on the totem pole than you are, though. I don't care about Bobby's hair here as much as I care about him being the underdog and Man of the People trying to win that money, and he's kind of like their poster boy for this. So to me, the hair doesn't matter as much as like Bobby trying to get one over on the shit heel.
I'm bound about to comment on another man's hair.
Bald Bobby Blaze.
Okay. Harper, what did you got from this?
I tell you, when he says, it ain't nothing for me to whip a man. That sounded so real.
Yeah. It did.
Ain't nothing for me to whoop a man. It did. Yeah. That was real. That was real. Mm-hmm. Especially coming from him.
And it is believable that, he hasn't made a lot of money in fucking wrestling, and he's about to do it now, and it just seemed believable.
I agree. It did. So, in the end, Bobby accepts the challenge. Solid stuff here. We'll have to see what happens as we move forward. Bobby getting a nice little – he's now officially – he's definitely in a feud now with – you got to remember, this guy was a former Smoky Mountain Wrestling – not Bobby, but Dirty White Boy, former heavyweight champion in the promotion. So this is – I'd say it's a pretty big deal as we continue along with to see what young Bobby is going to do in a promotion. Now, we keep going. Bob Cottle throws us to a TV commercial shoot with Tracy Smothers, and Smothers being attacked by primetime Brian Lee. Let me play that. They're in a cheap car lot, some used car lot with some fucking shyster car salesman, it looks like. But let's play it, and then we'll all react to it. I love this, and I'm anxious to hear what y'all think when we come through on the other side.
Just recently, Tracy Smothers in Knoxville filming a commercial for Redmond Auto Sales. What happened during the filming was definitely not helpful in selling cars. Let's go back and take a look.
Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy, here to tell you to get a cool deal and beat the heat at Redmond Auto Sales on
Alcoa. Name of the Alcoa. All right, let's start over.
Do it again.
All right, we're sorry, ready to go again.
Okay.
Jesus.
I get it this time.
All right.
I get it.
Hi, I'm Tom Sturdivant of Redmond Auto Sales on 4344 Alcoa Highway.
And this is Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy, here to tell you to beat the heat and get a cool deal at Redmond Auto Sales on that highway. That gum highway.
Jesus.
Save my life.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
All right, we're ready. Let's take three.
That highway's got me kicked.
Hi, I'm Tom Sturdivant from Redmond Auto Sales at 4344 Airport Highway.
And this is Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy, here to tell you to beat the heat. And what in the world is going on?
Hey, come on, fellas. I don't need... Boys, I don't need this on my...
What kind of job you would have after I ran you out of Smoking Mountain Wrestling?
Somebody call 911.
A used car salesman.
Yeah, Tracy, when it comes to cars, you're a Toyota and Primetime's here at Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah, okay, Miss Witch. I guess you know enough about cars. You've been in the back seat of enough of them.
Ho! Somebody call 911! Come on, fellas!
This is hilarious.
Hey, come on, knock it off, guys. Hey!
Jesus Christ.
All right, fans, you saw right.
All right, we're gonna hear from Tracy and, I'm sorry, Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy in a second. I want to say something before we even talk about the promo, what goes down there. They are in front of a bankruptcy accepted, no one turned down.
Yeah.
car lot, which is the equivalent to a like I said, this old fucking shyster car salesman charging these poor fucking bastards in the Smoky Mountains 28% interest on these fucking car loans because their credit sucks fucking donkey balls is what kept crossing my mind as I watched Tracy fuck up the promo. Harper, did you love this? What'd
you thinking,
think?
Who the hell's going to pay for that fucking windshield on that Chrysler LeBaron?
I think Corny footed the bill on that one, probably. Rick Rubin paid for that, I guess.
Probably. Which one of these cars has the cheapest windshield? He's like, we got this old Chrysler LeBaron. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. Put that one up front.
Let's shatter that one. God damn, this was fucking hilarious. What else did you have, Harper?
This kind of reminded me of when they beat up Dusty's arm, the Horseman.
With the injury kinda, angle?
Yeah.
Similar time frame for us. You know, we just dealt with that.
Yeah, they attack him on the street. So
yeah. JJ follows him. Uh-huh. I'm with you.
In a non-wrestling environment.
Yeah, buddy. Doc, what did you have?
I loved every single thing about this.
This was fucking great, man.
This is territory wrestling. This is old school wrestling. This is somebody call 911.
He said it three times. Somebody call 911.
Telling her that she knows about cars because she's been in the back seat of a bunch of them. That sundress was delicious.
God.
Man, I bet she caused problems wherever she went back then.
Okay.
In that area.
Of course.
They ain't ever seen a girl like that.
Well, Harper said it a couple weeks ago. She's like Bigfoot.
Right.
Yeah, she's like a fucking unicorn.
How many old fat broads were like turning to their man after they saw her at the mall and be like, "You like me better than her, don't you?" And some old loser piece of shit's got to be like, "Of course I do, honey." And he's just thinking about all the things he would do to murder his wife to be with Sonny. At the end, somebody yelling "Jesus Christ" was pretty good. I'm not sure how that got through.
Yeah.
What do you want to bet the odds were that they were down there filming that and the guy who's running the used car lot, because he's kind of got the voice for it and he knows what he's doing, probably went up to Jim afterwards and was like, "You hear how good I was on those commercials? If you ever need anybody to do any play-by-play, that's kind of always been my dream."
Yeah.
And let me just say this. This won't be the last time we go to the used car lot in this promotion.
That, I love the sign behind the guy. Bankruptcy accepted. No one turned down. Let me educate you people out there one thing. Now, I understand some people don't have a choice, and they got to go to the no one turned down lot. Bruh, BTT Army, hashtag BTT Army listeners, trust me, you do not want to buy a vehicle from the no one is turned down lot.
Because
why? Two reasons. One, you're probably getting a car that's either been in an accident, has some type of shit on its Carfax that you really don't want.
Yeah.
And additionally, if you are paying by the month and you know one of them buy here, pay me here bullshit, if you do that, they are anal raping you with no lubrication with anywhere from 20% to 30% interest, and they are fucking you royally.
It's just like the fucking what we talked about.
It's worse.
The washer and dryer fucking rent to own bullshit.
It's worse than that because we're talking about a car that's actually thousands.
They but got how am I supposed to get down to the drugstore to get my prescriptions and pill if I don't have reliable
vehicle
transportation? I don't have money to go down to one of those big fancy places, that old the Chevy house a couple of counties over. So I got to do what I got to do, man.
Bruh, and then you walk up and you pay these motherfuckers $500 down. The fucking car is $5,000. And by the time, and that's a big motherfucking if, you pay that bitch off, if you pay it off and get the title, you done paid fucking $20,000 for some shit that is probably ready to die by the time you're
right.
done.
It's a used car that has so many hidden fucking problems.
Now you see why I gave you the kudos that I gave you for bootstrapping yourself out of the third world conditions you grew up in.
Fuck, man. It's anyway, let's get back to some wrestling. But I thought the sign behind it was beautiful. And to Doc's point, we're not going to spoil anything, but this is not the last time we're at a car shop. This was done so well because it really appeared to me that Smothers is really messing up the shoot when Primetime Brian Lee shows
up. Yeah.
So I thought that was excellent. And then that line from Tracy about knowing a lot about cars because you had been in the backseat of enough of them popped me. This is – and then Primetime Brian Lee picking up a fucking pipe and missing Tracy and shattering a glass. Just really, really nice segment. Really, really good stuff. So that wraps up. And then Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy now, they need to share their thoughts on what's going down.
All right, fans, you saw right there just what happened when that commercial was being filmed. And right here with us now, Primetime Brian Lee.
Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch in the house. Understand, for all you listeners, let me interpret that for you real quick. That means Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch are standing here in front of you this evening. Now, you go ahead, little lady, and tell them what you want to say. Hey, you shut up and let her talk.
You know, I really cannot believe that Tracy Smothers attacked us the way he did. I cannot believe it. You know, I called my lawyer. We can have him arrested for assault and battery, and maybe just because he's so ugly. And he's just jealous that he doesn't look like Brian. I'm not his manager, and he's not the champion anymore.
That's exactly right. You know, Bob Cottle, it all comes down to two things. Tracy Smothers, you're a country boy, and you're ugly. You're jealous of Primetime Brian Lee from day one. You see I have the gold. You see I have the lady. And now you want a coal miner's glove match. He's been walking around saying Brian Lee's using a black glove. That's not a black glove, Daddy. That's that fist. It's so quick, it's looking black because it's on fire smoking. You see what I'm saying? With this lady in my corner and Primetime Brian Lee strutting and strolling in the ring, there's nothing you're going to be able to do. And I tell you what, now Tracy Smothers wants to put the glove up on a pole, a 10-foot pole. Look at me, Bob. I'm 280 pounds, 6'8", almost 7 foot tall, understand me. 7 foot tall. All I got to do is reach up there and take the glove off and bam, right in that glass jaw. What Tracy Smothers going to do? He's going to do the same thing he should have done 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago whenever he got in the sport, and that's get down in the coal mine. Because when I hit you with that black glove, Tracy, it's going to be out 1, 2, 3. And Tammy Fitch and myself, exactly like we always have been, we're on top. I'm the champion. She's the best looking thing and the first lady in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Primetime, as always, is going home with the gold.
Oh, my heavens. All right, fans, let's go to the ring.
All right, Doc, what'd you think to good old PBL right there? Primetime
Brian
Lee.
He started rattling off his dimensions again. 6'8", that's almost 7 feet. Well,
wait. Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch in the his house. If I got to translate, that means we're right here. Whoa, bro, slow down. You're not fucking Flavor Flav fucking rapping here, pal.
when you're 96% white, you might have to explain that in 1993. I mean, wasn't cool for all these hillbilly white kids to like hip hop and rap back then. So,
It was getting to that point in New Orleans.
It was getting to it, but we're talking deep, not like over in Metairie. We're talking about deep where shit's got to like infiltrate the hills to get in there.
Let me stop you for a second. Bruh, we fucking used to make fun of Metairie fucking white kids like they were fucking trash when I was that age in the 90s. Because we were like, those fucking busters think they're fucking gangsters and they're living in fucking white ass Metairie. Don't know shit about nothing. Boy, we used to make fun. Anytime we went to Metairie, it was looking for a fucking fight. You know, Harper, what New Orleans kids called fucking Metairie white kids, right?
Wanksters. Wanksters?
Yes. We used to drive. We'd be ready for some bullshit with the fucking... Every time we went to Metairie. Every time
we went to Metairie. It is a real miracle, not only that you've pulled yourself up by the bootstraps, but that you have avoided this country's fine long arm of penal system.
Yeah.
I didn't say we got in trouble, but...
Gentilly.
He knows what I'm talking about. Them fucking Metairie
Harper
fucking
white
kids.
Harper should have been quick on his feet and said, "You know what we called you, white kids from Metairie?" And Harper should have said, "Master is what I would have given."
I know, really, huh? Killers of the community.
Okay.
People who know who their father is.
Oh no. Oh, see, once you poke him with a stick and he gets his going, you should have done that, Mike.
He knows good and well, dude. The fucking Metairie was like, and you know what used to kill me about people from Metairie? They would be like, "I'm from New Orleans." Bitch, no, you ain't. You from fucking Metairie. Where you live? Metairie. Well, you ain't from New Orleans then, motherfucker. That's how New Orleans kids would be. He knows I ain't lying. They wanted that New Orleans credit where they weren't from New Orleans.
So it's not entirely impossible that Brian Lee would have to decode that in the house. House? Right there, pal. We're down at the high school.
Right.
And again, standalone, this isn't the greatest thing ever, but Primetime is such a better heel than he is a babyface. He just, he's still kind of awkward, he looks more natural being awkward than he did when he was trying to be a good guy. And we've said it for a year and a half now. He is legitimately better when he has the strap than when he doesn't. Like you say, a bunch of guys don't need a belt. He kind of needs a belt.
Yeah, and it's even better with him as a heel with the belt.
Yeah, and Sonny, and he's got the woman and the belt, and he's bigger than you, and the full blonde hair, and he didn't have to go down in any coal mines. The whole concept works pretty well.
Yeah. Harper, what did you have from the promo?
I love when he points out the obvious. He's like, "Bro, I'm 6'7", bro. I don't got to climb up shit. I just got to root it up and grab that motherfucker."
Yeah, true.
But what if there's walnuts up that tree?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Tracy would be like a damn monkey climbing up that tree for some walnuts.
Oh, man. We talked about it a few weeks back on the flagship show. It is so funny to rewatch Tracy in UWF 1986. He's so young, and he's just doing these squash matches. There's a match I just watched the other night with him. Kamala beats the fuck out of him. Kamala just slaughters him. But we'll keep going. We got Tracy Smothers here. So next up, we got Tracy Smothers versus, yes, I'm about to say it, Juicy Johnny.
Juicy J.
Juicy Johnny. Quick match, Tracy wins. Harper, did you have any notes from this?
No. Just this guy kind of got his stuff in. He tried to be a heel.
Tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doc, do you remember this guy from your first pass through the promotion?
No, but I have some thoughts.
Okay, what you have?
Well, first of all, before we do anything else to pull away from Smothers.
Tell the people
Smothers
to become
is
a
over here. Like,
no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Smothers is over here, pal.
Oh, hell yeah.
This crowd was into his scene. Like, well, we see some crowds and they're dead or it's later in the taping or whatever. They were into his shit.
Yeah.
So, did you have the same thought, Menace, that I did, that calling another man Juicy is kind of like calling another man Delicious?
Yes. Entertain is like, fuck, man, I ain't gonna call another man delicious. What if that motherfucker's down the street? Hey, yo, delicious! No, fuck, that shit don't work that way. No, I can't call it. Doc, if you ever came to me and be like, man, I got a new nickname, they gonna call me Juicy. And I'd be like, motherfucker, you ain't my friend no more. If that's your nickname.
Right. So my other question on this is, so when they're passing out all the wrestling names, am I to assume that Juicy Johnny goes to the guy who was late and got there last?
What's your name, Johnny? All right, Juicy Johnny, go.
That had to be a rib on this
guy. I thought
guy.
I was going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Shit.
Nah, bro, fuck you.
I would have to look to see if this guy worked anywhere else with the name, with a different name, but...
I would have, but I didn't want to Google Juicy Johnny. I was afraid.
Yeah, maybe one of the local...
And even then, I was like, well, I could put in Juicy Johnny Wrestler, but then I'd get taken into another little corner of the internet. I wasn't so happy. I was really afraid.
I'm sure one of, like...
It's in the Urban Dictionary, so... It means something.
God.
What does it say?
When a girl takes a shit on a guy while he pisses into her mouth. That's a Juicy Johnny.
Well. I can assure you. You won't get that on any other wrestling podcast.
Johnny.
I didn't believe it, but I had to Google it myself.
That's the first thing that pops up.
Y'all are gonna be on some watch list, dude.
It says
on the guy while he pisses into her mouth.
It says Juicy Johnny, when a girl takes a shit on a guy while he pisses in her mouth. How is that possible?
Yeah, how's he aiming?
So he's laying on his back while she shits on him. And he's got a strong enough stream of piss where he can shoot that shit up like it's shooting up out of a fountain and pissing in her mouth? What the fuck? They give an example of it too on it. It says, it's like a narrative example. It says, for example, someone, oh man, Anthony really gave Stephanie a Juicy Johnny. We are running long on this episode, and we're not even close. This is crazy. All right, Doc, any other thoughts? You're the one who wanted to discuss Juicy Johnny.
Well, and aren't you glad I did?
God.
Well, everything else I have now seems kind of
boring.
Limp in contrast, but I was like, dude, that's some outfit that son of a bitch is wearing. He's got pink and zebra mixed together in 1993.
It's kind of like what the Rockers used to wear.
Ain't the Rockers.
No.
It's actually what I thought the first time I saw him.
And this is about 5 years too late for that. Maybe four. Yeah.
Well, you got to remember the 90s, though, were a time of like all that multicolor bullshit.
Early 90s. Early. That's like 90, 91. By 92, man, it was grunge and flannel and all that other shit.
All right, well, let's keep going
And did you see that Juicy elbow from the top that he tried to do that didn't look so hot? I was like,
yeah.
Huh.
Juicy Johnny. All right, let's keep going.
I don't know. I was thoroughly amused and confused.
I don't think this is the last time we see Juicy Johnny either.
Well, good for him.
Let's keep going. Now, right after the match, we do get a promo from Tracy. Let's listen and hear what Tracy has to say after he defeats Juicy Johnny.
All right, fans, with us right now, here's the wild-eyed Southern boy himself, Tracy Smothers. Tracy, earlier, the fans heard Primetime Brian Lee is talking about what they're going to do with that coal miner's glove match.
You know something, Bob? I don't think it's any secret to these people out here, the people in Williamsburg, Kentucky, and all over the Smoky Mountain area. It ain't hard to tell who wears the pants in that relationship, man. I'm going to tell you that right now. Brian Lee, you're following around after that little tramp like a puppy dog. You almost beheaded me when I was trying to do that commercial, man, but you didn't get the job done. Everybody knows you took that black glove and you knocked me out, and that's why you're the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, along with that little brat, Tammy Witch. My mom said pretty is as pretty does, and I've seen better bodies in a used car lot. Now the glove's up on the pole. You call us all hillbillies and coal miners. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to scale that thing like a monkey, man. And I'm going to get that code. I'm going to get that glove. And I'm going to knock you into the next area code and be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. Thank you.
Going to be some match, fans. You don't want to miss that. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thoughts, Hopper?
He's pissed. And he means business. And if anyone knows anything about used car lots, I mean, we just saw him do a fucking commercial for one.
Yeah. A hell of a one.
Yeah.
Doc, thoughts?
I thought this was solid.
I did too.
He's mad. And I really like the little things, like when he thanks Bob Caudle at the end. It's like, thank you.
Yeah, it's a true mark of a baby face. I agree. Well, okay, it was good. Solid leading into the next match they have and him regaining the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. It's kind of good. You know, they got it off of him. And, you know, he's a couple weeks in a row now. We're not getting the catchphrases. And we're getting Tracy, you know, just feeling like he's natural in the promo without throwing out the catchphrases. So, good stuff. Now, they go from that to K-Town Showdown plug.
Mm.
It's gonna be August 20th, oh, 1993 at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. So, let me just run down things. I'm not going to play anything, but I know this is Van Halen's song right now.
What?
Just so y'all know, before you even start the ribbon.
How many hours of research do you think it took him to get this put together? Like, he was like downloaded and put in that software that tells you who sings it. Yeah. I'm going to show them.
No.
And meanwhile, I watched him. Oh yeah, that's Van Halen.
That song was pretty damn popular.
It was huge.
It was, but let me tell you, and this is going to be the biggest getting over statement I've ever said on this show. Van Halen died and should have died when David Lee Roth left. Right. Anything that came after that is invalid and stupid. People our age will get that.
Yeah. Every time I hear this song, I think of fucking Crystal Pepsi, because this was the fucking commercial.
I don't remember that.
No.
And I do remember when David Lee Roth did leave Van Halen.
Yeah.
And I do remember that, but you know, I wasn't as committed to the cause that y'all were with it being the dumbest thing on the planet, Doc, so I can't relate to that part of it. Just another white guy singing in a fucking rock band to me, if you ask me, pal.
I want to go to the fucking Hooters party, bro.
That's what I want to talk about.
I want to go to that Hooters party.
I buy tickets and all of a sudden I'm getting a fucking slice of shitty fucking hillbilly pizza. Fuck that. I want to get some cold wings and see some big titties.
Mm.
That does seem better than the pizza party.
Right.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Yeah, I would have to agree. That's better than the pizza party. All right, well, we'll keep going.
Can you imagine Del Rey at a Hooters party?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that they were supposed to, the original Heavenly Bodies were supposed to debut at the Hooters? But
yeah,
now,
I'm
not so sure you'd want to.
I remember that.
I don't know that you'd want to take this in this installment of the Heavenly Bodies to one of those kind of joints. They might get kicked out pretty quick.
Jimmy Del Rey would be trying to suck a titty nipple through that fucking missing tooth.
What?
I wonder if that's how he lost a tooth.
It's stuck.
You're gonna tell me that Del Rey didn't suck titties through that fucking missing tooth?
It's stuck.
The question is not did he? The question is how many.
Right. How many fucking titties? How many? You can't say titties because you can only fit the nipple through it, right? So how many nipples did he fucking get through that missing tooth? All right. Well, let me just say this about K-Town, the K-Town Showdown plug for Knoxville Civic Coliseum, August 20th, 1993. So they announced Horner versus Candido. Sullivan versus Big Boss Man, Smothers versus Primetime Brian Lee, a four-team elimination match, not my favorite, but okay, and Bullet Bob versus Cornette in a lumberjack match with the ref being the Big Boss Man. And remember, if Bullet Bob loses, he refunds every ticket purchase. So there you go. Let's keep going. We got the main event in this episode is going to be Steve Armstrong versus the Dirty White Boy. And Cornette is on commentary and bitching as usual about everything. He's pissed about it all. Now, I do want to play one thing for y'all. It's a soundbite of when Corny starts in on Bullet Bob and Sandy Scott. And here it is. This is during the match, obviously.
Joined at our set here by Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
I'm going to get right in here in the middle here, Bob Caudle, because first of all, Dutch Mantel, can you believe what they're trying to do to me, man?
No,
can you believe what they're trying to do to me? Putting me in the ring against Bullet Bob Armstrong in a lumberjack match, sticking me in the ring in the rage in the cage, bringing the Big Boss Man in to be the special referee. Bullet Bob Armstrong has got everything going his way, and it's all because of these crooked, stinking politicians that run Smoky Mountain Wrestling just like they're running everything else into the ground.
Let me ask you something, Jimmy. Do you think Bob Armstrong stepped down as commissioner, but don't you think he's still pulling a lot of clout, pulling a lot of strings inside in the offices of Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
Well, you know he is.
Absolutely.
You know he is. He goes out to dinner with all those old coots, Sandy Scott, and the rest of those geriatric sets. He goes out to dinner with them. He goes drinking with them. Hey, you got down and dirty with Dutch. They ought to have been over and boozed up with Bob because that's what he's like.
What about the Big Boss Man? He's going to be the referee. He's going to keep law and order, Jim.
Let me just say this about the Big Boss Man.
All right, I had to play that. They should have had bent over and boozed up with Bob. I thought that was a great line from Corny during the commentary. Did you note that as well, Harper?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Bent over and boozed.
Oh, boy. Basically saying they're over there blowing each other.
God.
Oh, boy. Doc, did you have anything from that?
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think we've moved. Well, I like the line about the bent over and Bob, but I think we've transitioned backstage. Let me say what I mean by that.
Yeah, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
What was it? 6-8 months ago, Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson are in. Cornette goes to WCW Saturday Night, Rock and Roll wrestles on Saturday Night. We know somewhere in the promotions backstage, Corny shifts from WCW to working with WWF. The fact that they call him the Big Boss Man and not Big Bubba Rogers tells me that this shift is starting to occur or has occurred in the back.
Or Corny just don't give a fuck either.
Maybe. Yeah. But if we're just going to go with what's natural, what would be Cornette's natural inclination is to call him Big Bubba because that's what he's used to.
Help me out because I don't remember. When Bubba goes back to WCW, does he use Big Boss Man?
Or no.
Ever?
No, that's it.
It was Big Bubba because Dusty Rhodes used to call him Big Blubba.
Okay, so that's what I thought. So, what you're saying something too, Doc, because either Cornette doesn't give a fuck and he's just calling him big boss man, not giving two shits if Vince approves or not, or he got approval to use it.
Well, and I think that it's that we're getting the approval and this is going to start turning on the faucet of big names. When you say everybody came through here, everybody's about to come through here in the next 2 years, and it's a lot of times through the lens of being a WWF talent, and this may be the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
When I say everybody, I mean everybody but Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair is going to show up in this damn ring, pal.
I mean, doesn't even fucking Undertaker show up?
I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
I mean, he literally means everybody. Everybody. Some point.
Everybody
shows up in Smoky Mountain at some point in time. You know, and this isn't a spoiler because if you listen to us, you probably listen to Jim Cornette too. Fucking Cornette, Vince McMahon is on Smoky Mountain TV at one point. Vince,
I'll never forget. He pops up on there and says Smoky Mountain, and I was texting Mike like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, Yeah, at one point Vince is on there. So, yeah, that kind of tells you where things are headed, which is crazy. This one promotion sandwiched in between two, or sandwiched in the middle of time, it's just incredible, and that's kind of why we're doing
it. And you got to remember, it's easy to say they were the Southern ECW or whatever. This predates ECW. ECW is still Eastern Championship Wrestling right now. And ding-donging along. And if you don't believe me, go pick out a show from the summer of 93 on the network and go look at it. It ain't ECW like you think.
Smoky Mountain's better than ECW. And I was an ECW fan.
I've always wondered what, on a totem pole of our wrestling at this time, where would you put Smoky Mountain wrestling? We play WWE, WCW.
Well, USWA is going to have something to say about it.
Yeah, USWA is going to have something to say about it. But I will tell you this. I've seen some of the records from this time period, and Smoky Mountain
was drawn with WCW.
Yeah, house show-wise and whatnot. So it just, you know, it depends who you talk to. Where you would rank it, but I mean, the people we know and we get along with are going to rank it. It's going to be one of the higher promotions. Yeah. And no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's up there. So, but yeah, man. So, all right, let's keep this train rolling and go through the finish. I really don't have much notes from this match between Steve Armstrong and the Dirty White Boy.
I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, most of everything I paid attention to was corny on commentary, which he was a runaway train. It was, it was pretty damn hilarious most of the time. I paid one bite, but it was real good. Dirty White Boy does get DQ'd because the Heavenly Bodies interfered. He's saved by Bullet Bob and Scott. So, I say saved. Fucking Steve Armstrong is saved by them. But I didn't have any other notes from the match. Did you, Doc?
No, it's a good match. I just liked how, when it all started breaking down, Dirty White Boy just got his check and was like, see you boys later.
Right. Right. He got the fuck out of Dodge is what happened. Mm-hmm. There's a local promo. I'm not going to play it. Nothing really special to me except for when Bullet Bob called someone a Redskin.
Yeah.
He called him a Chinaman, too.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me see something.
I'm pretty sure that's not a...
Because I'm going to pull all your hair out by the roots, big boy. Now, you've hit your last fan up there. You don't have to fight the fans anymore. You full of Armstrongs right here, brother. And these ain't exactly toothpicks hanging on our shoulders. But I will take this Tennessee toothpick and show you a thing or two. Barberville has seen enough of you, bugle mouth. You've run it and run it till you've run it your last. Oh, even a Chinaman can eat so much rice. Shit. And I got rice running out my ears. So right there in Barberville, this Friday night, hallelujah, I ain't got to wait much longer. We coming for you, brother. How long can you dance? 1 hour time limit. Six men in that ring. How long can you run? Or how long can you roll? Blivet. Everybody knows the Blivet deal, right? So I don't have to repeat that. But what I will say is this. Barberville is your last stand. You're going to think your name is Custer, and you're looking at a lot of Redskins right here, brother. We're going to surround you in Barberville, and I'll tell you this much. Before that night's over, brother, you're going to be crawling back to that dressing room if you can crawl, and if you can't, I'll put a noose around your neck, and I'll drag you back there personally.
All right, fans, with us. All right. It was worse than what I thought.
You know what a Blivet is?
I don't know what that is. I
have no idea. I was going to ask y'all.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. PhD. Tell us.
Well, this is on the online slang dictionary, so that's what I have a PhD in. It says here, a blivet, B-L-I-V-I-T, is 10 pounds of shit in an 8-pound bag.
Ugh.
Or 2 pounds of shit in a 1-pound bag. You know, it's more shit in the bag than the shit bag holds.
Oh, okay. All right. Then he said Redskin.
Yeah.
And Chinaman.
Lesson. General Custer surrounding the Redskins. Did you
hear? Chinaman.
God damn. Oh, fuck. No, all right. Well, any other thoughts from that, Doc?
Well. No. I think we should probably. We've done enough damage in this episode.
We have hot shot the territory today.
Juicy Johnny.
Juicy fucking Johnny.
I feel like there's more here, but I'm starting to get a little tired. I'm a little winded here. I'm blown up.
I'm getting winded too, man. Look, let me just say this, and then we'll get the last promo out the way. If you are not a patron, become one. It's tinyurl.com/BTCpatron. We've got a bunch of, if you like the Juicy Johnny segment, there's a ton of like patron only episodes where we talked about shit like that, just dumb shit not related to wrestling. So become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Get access to the patron exclusive content that no one else gets, and get a chance to come on a show. Even though nobody's cut a promo yet, you'll still get a chance to come on a show and do so. All right, let's go to the last promo. It's the Rock and Roll Express. Actually, I don't even have notes from this. There's nothing here.
Yeah,
bunch of cliches.
And the thing was, they show the end of a recent match where the Bruise Brothers defeated the Rock and Roll Express when one of the Bruise Brothers uses his boot to knock Ricky out, but the ref doesn't see it, which is good old school stuff. And it's kind of Ricky and Robert responding. And the reason I say there's nothing here, there's nothing really new. It's not bad. It's just not new. There's nothing going on. I mean, there's nothing new. It felt like this was added because we needed to fill up a little time. We got an hour show, and that's that. So that's kind of where I was. Now, let's do some disability checks. Would I be wrong to make my checks higher just after the fact we found out what a Juicy Johnny was?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Shit on my fucking chest, bitch, while I piss in your mouth. What's that called? It's called a Juicy Johnny.
Is that a Cleveland steamer? No, that's a Juicy Johnny.
Well, you had the down and dirty with the dirty white boy. You had the fucking car scene, and then we fucking get Juicy Johnny. And then we had Cornette on commentary. This shit's getting an 8.25 for me.
Like this week better than last week?
Yeah, because of Juicy Johnny, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Doc, what are you giving it?
Oh, man, I feel like I got to pull this thing back a little bit here. Good episode. We're kind of in that zone where we've got everybody who's on the bus for a while. We're about 5 or 6 weeks from some new people being added. Episodes, I mean. So it is what it is, and it's good. But the title didn't change hands, so I'm going to stay a little bit below 8 and say 7.7.
Wow.
What about Tracy in that car lot scene?
Yeah, though? Man.
I liked it.
Okay. All right. He gave last week an 8.5, Harper.
I'm giving this one a 9 just for the fucking the used car lot, and the fucking Juicy Johnny fucking brings it up a notch.
Bruh, Juicy Johnny wasn't even a part of this. Well, the Juicy... What if somebody back then knew what the Urban Dictionary definition was? And like, say, bro, your name's going to be Juicy Johnny. He's like, all right.
Hey, man, that sounds great. Can't wait to meet you. What's right. The fuck's Juicy Johnny? Well, let me tell you, pal.
Fuck. Okay.
Chick shit on me.
Oh, God. So let's do the Government Cheese now. The Government Cheese Award is brought to you by longtime listener Shard Johnson and tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, which is another great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Please use it. Give it to the wives. Give it to the girlfriends. Bookmark it. You can buy pretty much anything and everything from Amazon. You can't buy a Juicy Johnny. I'm sorry. They don't sell those there. But you can buy almost anything else. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. We get a little bit of small kickback in return when you use it. Government Cheese, you know, Juicy Johnny, I would give it to that, but I can't. I got to give it to the Smothers, the car lot segment. That shit was extra fucking great. So the car lot segment gets the Government Cheese. Doc, what's getting the Government Cheese from you?
I wasn't sure how to break this down, so I am going to give the Government Cheese to the car lot segment.
Yeah, because how do you break it down? It's all together, you know, that you need all
everybody
the
parts. Did a good job there. They all get to sit around and nibble on a piece of cheese.
Yeah. Who are you giving yours to, Harper?
Yeah, the whole fucking car lot scene. Even the guy that says Jesus Christ, he gets
Jesus Christ. Too. Somebody call 911. That, the fucking sign, the car, the pipe, Brian Lee, Tammy. Tracy.
Imagine driving down that little stupid farm to market where they're on and you see that shit going down.
Yeah.
You're probably like, oh, that's a nice Oldsmobile 98 right there. What the fuck?
Imagine being a customer and pulling up while they're shooting everybody up.
They smartened everybody up, didn't they?
I don't know, bro.
Yeah, right. How many miles y'all got on this Ford Tempo? What the fuck is going on over there?
This is great. I love it. I love it. This is awesome. Oh, man. What a fucking fun episode, even though we're whooped to fucking... Even though we're whooped.
Why are we acting like we work outside and do manual labor for a living? Bro. Jesus Christ.
Like we're working the fucking fields and some shit, man. Anyway, hey, we hadn't talked about this in a while. Give us a 5-star review on fucking Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever the hell they're calling it now, please. And then after you do that, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the shop now button and buy some fucking t-shirts, please. And if you don't want the Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirts, look in the show notes. There's the T Public store. There's Doc's t-shirt. Yeah, Doc Turner for Life. It's on there. Check it out. Buy it. We'd appreciate it. I do want to thank the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, for everything they do each and every week when they plug us. And check out their show that comes out every single Monday. Just search WPAM wherever you get your podcast, or search the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. They're doing a lot of classic stuff these days. They do some current stuff too. So if the current stuff is your thing, good. If not, they do classic as well, and you'll enjoy it. They're good guys. Malonis is doing his thing in ROH, and I'm happy for him and all of his success that he's been able to achieve within the last year with them. All right. I don't really have anything else, and I'm fucking tuckered out. Thanks to all the Hall of Fame patrons. I do have something else. At DNEIW, LS, REMiller39, Justin_Andretti, JShiny21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91US, ShepDaddy32, USC49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, TOG94, SV Pageant, Martin Howell 71, Tim Orechi, the official researcher of Booking the Territory, Codeman822, at Gobbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. If you're not a patron, become one. tinyurl.com/BTT patron. We're on Twitter, at @BTT_podcast. Harper's at @CJHWhoDat. Doc doesn't do Twitter, even though I think he's BTT Doc. And with that said, Harper, hit the tagline so we can go home.
Book it, bitch.